so much for Drunken Sailors. We're going to talk with Kelly Watson, and we'll try to get Kat and Sharon up the same way by telephone. Thank you to Kate Ingram for prompting me on how to fool with a computer, but I don't have time. We're going to do this by telephone. Hello, Kelly. How are you?
I am great. How are you doing?
Well, you know, what do you think? It's a little bit addling, but we're managing. Kelly is the artistic director, the founder, the giddy stage MC when she can be on stage of She Tells Sea Tales. This year, of course, it's like so many other things. It's on Zoom, and I want you to tell us all how it's going to work. How can people come to She Tells Sea Tales, and who's presenting? And while you're talking, I'm going to be fiddling with my equipment here.
All right. Well, this we are undertaking our seventh mostly annual She Tells Sea Tales event. We did have to cancel last year's event. So four of those brave readers held on for a year, so they should be very well practiced after having a whole year of formulating their story and working on it. That is Maria Cook, Sharon Albert, Allison Demert, and Joyce Gustafson. So it's a little bit shorter of a lineup this year because we all know that Zoom fatigue is real. I will be down at the Maritime Center. I will be the lone person in a room that's usually packed with 250-plus people. Tickets are on sale now. You can buy them at nwmaritime.org, SheTells, so /SheTells. Tickets are $15, and that's one device for, you know, as many people as you can COVID safely crowd around that one device. And this year's show starts at 6 p.m. We've done that so that coast-to-coast people can join a little bit easier. And then you will also be, I believe, emailed a link the following week. If you missed it, the live performance, you'll be able to see the other performance then. And as always, this is a fundraiser for our programs at the Maritime Center, usually most specifically the Girls Boat Project. This year it's going to support other programs for women and girls, and thank you for coming to check it out. We're really excited about being able to have this event despite the fact that we're not gathering in person.
One more question, Kelly, before I let you go. How is the Girls Boat Project functioning under these pandemic and socially isolated times?
Well, the Girls Boat Project has taken a pause this year, and they will be back strong in the future. There are other programs still happening at the Maritime Center. So I facilitate the Port Townsend Maritime Academy through West Sound Technical Skill Center and the Port Townsend School District. So I am there teaching kids all outside 4 days a week for the public schools. Real World Readiness Program, a partnership between the Maritime Center and Jefferson Juvenile Services, is also functioning in person down there. And that is really a fantastic program. And then the sailing team, I believe, is just starting up, and there have been virtual programs. Bravo team's been meeting virtually, and some of the adult programs have been meeting virtually. Virtual boat build class has even occurred. So, but the Girls Boat Project has taken a bit of a pause this year.
Thank you. You talk very fast, Kelly, but concisely, and you do well. And thank you for joining us on Attention, Please, and have a good day.
Thank you. Oh, I'll be here standing by to watch these lovely performers.
Okay. Well, I will now put another piece of music on that is an instrumental, and I will dial up Kat Murphy on the telephone as soon as I undial Kelly Watson. By the way, Chris Bricker, Kate Ingram, thank you for your coaching. We're dealing with a Zoom exclusive issue here. I know how to drive the computer. We'll listen to music, and I'm going to call Kat Murphy. And maybe we can think of that as the sound of salmon entering nets. Kat Murphy is our guest now from She Tells Sea Tales. She is a commercial fisher. She is the owner of Catfish Salmon Company. And she, as I'm told, was a recent hit at Astoria Fisher Poets and has a piece to read to us. Let me look at the clock. I have enough time to ask you a very quick question. Well, actually, to say that, hello, neighbor. We're neighbors in the boat haven. I don't know if you recognize me, but we see each other on the dock from time to time. I see you talking with Joel, another commercial fisher. How long have you been in the salmon business?
Hi, yeah, nice to see you again, Phil. Here, I think I need to unmute myself. I'm echoing.
I'm not hearing the echo.
Okay, there we go. It's a little better. Let me try to mute my computer. That helped. Okay, I bought. Sorry about that. I bought the Grace in 2018 and went fishing that same summer. So I have 3 seasons under my belt so far. Still pretty new, but happy to be doing it. And yeah, I do recognize you. It's nice to see you. I'm actually hauled out right now. I'm in the middle of a maintenance period.
Okay, Grace is a lovely vessel, gorgeous lines, classic troller. And now I need you to tell us what you told to the people in Astoria.
Sounds good. I'll get right to it. This piece that I read is called Duck. We finally got into some good fishing in August. The second King opener was long this year, more of a marathon than a sprint. And of course, a 50-knot storm warning came on over the radio. I spent the evening studying charts and consulting friends, not wanting to run away from good fishing. Full of indecision, I didn't want to be caught in that blow, dragging anchor all night in some hidey hole that didn't live up to its reputation. The next day, one of the first boats to bail, we stacked our gear early and ran. On anchor that night, positioned to catch the tide up the narrows at first light, I was lying down in my bunk, staring up at that leak I thought I had fixed that lands perfectly on my face when I'm sleeping. I could see the bead of water clinging to the wood, waiting to let go. Perfectly on cue, a drop of water then landed on my forehead. I questioned myself, tortured myself, as one more day of good fishing during a season like this can really turn things around. At times, my boat has made me feel free and powerful. Instead, I felt tired and cornered, scared to stay, frustrated to leave, frozen with indecision, stuck. This past year, I've been thinking a lot about the difference between being stuck, feeling stuck, and the places in between. My crew and I found ourselves stuck in Ketchikan last fall, waiting out a literal Arctic hurricane before we could cross Dixon Entrance. We drove down to Foggy Bay in bashing seas to anchor for the night. We woke up at 3 a.m. for the weather report, tucked our tails, and drove 6 hours back to town to wait it out in a torrential downpour of such magnitude that my running partner swore it was flattening the seas. I've been stuck untangling anchors on the ghost of anchors past, busted seas, bolts, and hydraulic hoses, and have found myself multiple times stuck trolling in place and sometimes backwards before I realized what was going on in some unanticipated currents. Just last week, I was taking out my starter, and whatever sadists designed the bolt patterns on those things, I applaud them for the hours I was stuck backing them out. I even managed to get myself frozen inside my boat once. It was after my first troll season, and finances were tight, so I decided to live aboard. One winter morning, I woke up cold and stiff and in desperate need of the shorehead, as I had none aboard. I jiggled the handle and started to push the cabin door open, but nothing happened. I used more force, nothing. I pressed my cheek against the glass and tried to see what was going on. It had been a rainy night, and the temperature must have dropped below freezing. And with the addition of the howling north wind thrown into the mix, the line I used in the summer to tie my cabin door open blew sideways across the door in the middle of the night and froze into a puddle on my side deck, doing the exact opposite thing it was meant to do and trapping me inside. I felt my boat's claws sinking deeper into me. She was not going to let me go. We were stuck with each other. I felt resentment. After everything we'd been through together this past fishing season, are you really going to conspire with that icy north wind and trap me inside? I just spent 5 weeks this fall hauled out, painting and sanding and tending to your every need. I realized I had lost it. The memories of a challenging summer fishing season, a cold and lonely winter in a place that was not my home, and a screaming bladder all joined forces in the shape of one powerful, angry kick at that door, freeing myself. Another drop of water fell onto my face, this time directly between my eyes. Still doubting my decision to leave the fishing grounds, I lay in my bunk thinking. I was never stuck. A feeling that's meant to be felt, but then set free. Frozen in these microscopic moments, that if I could just zoom out of, would barely register on my radar, a blip on the screen. But zooming out is never going to happen for me. So the thing I hold on to when I feel trapped in the prison of my mind, where I'm frozen inside my boat in a decision to stay or go, in a boat loan payment, in a lifestyle that causes equal parts devastation and elation, is that I'm free and there's much to come. Hang in there. Thank you.
And you're welcome, Kat Murphy. And I think what I'm going to do here, we have only 2 minutes left for attention, please, today. And I'm not going to be able to get to Sharon, and sorry, Sharon, just how things work out. But I'm going to ask Kat Murphy a couple of questions about, well, you see, I had to use up 2 minutes just making the phone call, so it's pointless to do that. I'm going to ask Kat instead, where do you sell your fish? Do you sell to people directly like many fishers do?
I do, yeah. That's Catfish Salmon Company. I have a website, and folks can head to the website, and I still have some fish left. I'm sold out of a few other things, but I try to make it as easy for local folks as possible. I host pickup events outside, masks, so people can just, show up in their car and pick up their fish and not have to pay for shipping, but I also ship throughout the Pacific Northwest region.
And once you catch your fish, once you bring your salmon aboard, what happens to it next?
Ah, yeah, it comes aboard alive. So not all fisheries are like that. So then we bleed it in the gills, and then we gut it. We take the guts out, pressure bleed it, get all the blood out of there, and then ice it down in the fish hold, kind of like layers of salmon stacked on top of each other. And this process produces the highest quality fish on the market. Then we keep them on board for maybe 4 days maximum, and then they get delivered on the fifth day to a processor in town, which then fillets and blast freezes them in the same day, preserving a great level of freshness and quality.
And they go through rigor mortis after they thaw out again, don't they? So I'm told, anyway, that's what Rick Altman, who keeps fish the same way you do. That was what he told me. So, Kat Murphy, if any of our listeners want to know how to find you, I will direct them to you. Thank you very much. Have a good time at She Tells, Sea Tales. It's about time for me to say, attention, please, is going to yield to the next show. And I'm going to tell you that it's National Native News. I'm Phil Andrus.